Thank you, Jenna. Choir, John. Well, welcome. Thank all of you for coming out today. It's good to see everybody. On day 22 of the Camino, we had been walking at that point for 3 weeks and a day. And it had been raining on and off for about 5 days. And we got up in the morning and went up a fairly steep hill, and then we're on what they call the Meseta, which is, that's a whole nother sermon. But the Camino at that point was dirt, only with 5 days of rain, it was not dirt, it was mud. And it was the stickiest, gooeyest, horrible stuff. We had read about the red mud of Rioja, where the famous wine country. This wasn't that. I think it's worse than the red mud of the Rioja. A few days before, we had met a couple. We ended up sitting next to them at a pilgrim meal, and we learned that the lady's particular issue in life was dirt. She hated to be dirty, and she did not like mud. You know, I think we have some slides. I asked Ann to tee up a couple slides. That's what it was like. And that day we had, oh, I think 19 kilometers of that, or about 12 miles of mud. And it was that every step of the way. And you couldn't get off the Camino. If you got off to the side of the fields, it was worse. I mean, it was just horrible. We were two of the slowest pilgrims on the Camino, and everybody passed us. And the husband of this couple that we'd had, sat next to at that pilgrim's meal, came by, and he was talking to another guy, and he zoomed right on by. And it was like an hour later or more. So I'm guessing, you know what, the speed they were going, probably about, 4 kilometers an hour, maybe 2.5 miles an hour. So he was a good 2 miles, maybe 3 miles in front of her. The wife came walking down the Camino. And that is just about what her feet looked like and what her pants looked like. And she was just walking right down the middle of the Camino. She was not a happy lady at all. Maybe an hour later, another guy passed us, and he was kind of a roly-poly German gentleman. He was a lot of fun, and he came by, and as he passed us, he said in a thick accent, "RV having fun yet?" You know, it's such an American expression out of this German gentleman. But there were several of us in that area all about that time. And his kind of enthusiasm for it was infectious. It kind of caught on to everybody. And one guy says, "My guidebook doesn't say anything about mud." Another guy says, "Yeah, I watched that movie, and Martin Sheen, he never walked through this stuff." And it was that difference in attitude that made the difference. And I think we've got another slide. Here was Ann showing off the mud. I got a picture of her. And, well, you can see what it is. It's just, and yet you look at Ann, and she's got a smile on her face. It brought to mind a sign that I saw in Talkeetna. This was another adventure we had. We worked too late at the cabin on a Sunday night. My son and I, we had work on Monday morning, but we worked too late at the cabin, and we got a late start out of the cabin, and it was cold. It was like 25 below, and we're headed back into town, and one snow machine just quit. So we hooked up the mine, and I started dragging his, and I went a mile. It quit. We found out later as what had happened is we got some injection oil that was contaminated, and the injection oil lines froze. And so we just burned the pistons out of both machines. So here we are out in the middle of nowhere. By then it was like 9 o'clock at night, and nothing we could do but walk. So we walked all the way into Talkeetna. We got his powder special, both rode it back. We hooked up one machine and drug it into town. And at that point, my son just got deathly ill. I mean, it was food poisoning, classic case. We had no place to stay. It's Sunday night, late. What are we gonna do? Gamble. So we went over to the Latitude 62, and they had a concert that night. And so there were still some people left, and we were able to get a room. So while he was taking a shower, I waited, and I looked up, and there was this sign on a wall, and it said, Attitude, the difference between an ordeal and an adventure. And you know, that was just like the Camino. For Anne, she was an adventure. She was walking down the Camino in all the mud. And for the other lady, it was an ordeal. And the only difference was attitude. I love that. And I remember that attitude, the difference between an ordeal and an adventure. The three points that I have today that I'm going to talk about. First of all, we cannot change many of the conditions in our lives. Number two, what we can change is how we look at things. And number three, I'm going to get an A in homiletics. I'm using another acronym today, and it's SEGUE. And this is a way that we can use to shift our attitudes. So first of all, we cannot change the conditions in our lives. We could not change the fact that it was raining on the Meseta in Spain. Couldn't change that. But the thing that we could change was how we viewed it and what our attitude was around that. Another good example, Reverend Veronica was up. You guys remember Reverend Veronica from a couple weeks ago? She arrived while it was still sunny and nice, and the wind was blowing the other way for the McHugh Creek fire, so the smoke was going away from Anchorage, and it was all beautiful. Well, the next day, she landed in the evening and saw beautiful Anchorage, woke up in the morning, and it's all filled with smoke, and wind had shifted, and the smoke had filled the town, and it was, we can't do anything to change that McHugh Creek fire. She and I together could not change that fire. Now, what she suggested, and it was awesome, what a demonstration. She said, we need to pray about this. And we did. We sat down. I picked her up. We came in here. She wanted to see the space. We sat down and prayed. I looked out, and the drops were already coming down. And that's when the rain came that eventually put the fire out. So prayer actually works. But we ourselves couldn't really do anything about that fire. But what we could do is pray, treat, move your feet, and we could change our attitude. We weren't going to be able to go down around the arm and take all the tourist sites that I normally wanted to, that I normally show visitors to. So instead, we did some other things that were right here in town that ended up to be just as good. We were able to change our attitude. Okay, point number two, we can change how we look at things. Ernest Holmes wrote, "Man discovers his ability to think and realizes that from within there comes a reaction to his thought. He can think consciously, and mental law acts upon his thought, and his physical body is affected by his thinking." Our thoughts have power, and we can change our thoughts. I think we have another slide. Here's an example. Now, I don't know what you see there. Do you see a vase? Or do you see two profiles of people facing one another? It all depends upon your perspective. But you cannot see both the faces and the vase at the same time. It's all dependent on your perspective. I think there's another one. Now, what do you see there? Do you see a beautiful young girl that's looking away in the distance? Or do you see an old hag with a scowl on her face? They're both there, but it all depends upon your perspective, and you can't see them both at the same time. You can only see one. Does everybody see both? Okay. How many see the beautiful young girl looking away? Okay. How many see the old hag? Oh, there's a few. Here's the hag. Here's her mouth, and there's her nose. And for those of you who just see the pretty girl, there's her little pricky nose and her eyelashes and her fancy hat. Today's sacred reading had a really powerful, powerful quotation in it, and I'm going to repeat it. Haim G. Janot, I think that's how we pronounce it, but he wrote a book, The Teacher and Child, a book for parents and teachers. And he says, I have come to the frightening conclusion that I am the decisive element. It is my personal approach that creates the climate. It is my daily mood that makes the weather. I possess tremendous power to make life miserable or joyous. I can be a tool of torture or an instrument of inspiration. I can humiliate or humor, hurt or heal. In all situations, it is my response that decides whether a crisis is escalated or de-escalated, and a person is humanized or dehumanized. And if we treat people as they are, we make them worse. But if we treat people as they ought to be, we help them become what they are capable of becoming. So powerful. We are the creators. I am the thinker who thinks the thought. I have the power to change my life. The story of a little old lady who was sitting on an airplane, and she was quietly reading her Bible. And a big burly guy came in and sat down next to her. And as they got ready to take off, he looked down and he said, don't tell me you actually believe all the stuff in there, do you? And she says, well, of course I do. It's the Bible. And he says, everything? She says, yeah, everything. Well, what about that guy that got ate by the whale? She says, you mean Jonah? Yeah, yeah, that's the one. You mean to tell me you believe that he lived inside of a whale for all that time? And she says, yeah, if that's what it says in the Bible. Nah, come on, he says. He couldn't possibly live inside a whale for that long. You know, how do you know that he lived inside the whale? And she says, well, I don't, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask. And he looked at her and he says, oh, yeah, so what? What if he's not in heaven? And she says, well, then you can ask him. Now, in our philosophy, we do not believe that heaven and hell are geographic locations and the destination for our souls for eternity. We rather look at heaven and hell as states of mind, and that heaven and hell are here, right here and now, and we experience them to the degree that we are open to that. That we are open to experience all of the glory of heaven right here and right now. And if by our own thinking, our own thoughts, our own attitudes, we choose to experience something less than that, we're free to do that as well. See, there was meaning to that joke. Another good example, the picnic today. One way to look at the picnic is, oh God, it's cloudy out there, it's raining, it's gonna be soggy. You know, God, I'd really like to have some of Jacqueline's chicken, but it's rainy, I'm not gonna go. The other way to look at it is, we're Alaskans, give me a break. Alaska, we are the home to the leading scorer of the women's sevens rugby team. Alaska, where every young lady's fashion-conscious wardrobe may or may not include a little black dress, but I'll guarantee it includes extra tufts. That's Alaska. And, you know, a little rain isn't going to slow us down. That is the attitude that we can approach today's picnic with. Once again, I am the thinker who thinks the thoughts. Okay, ways in which we can reframe our thinking. Segway. No, not the scooter thing that drives, not that deal. That's S-E-G-W-A-Y. This is Segway as in a smooth, effortless transition. S-E-G-U-E. The first, the S, stands for start your day positively. So many of us haul out in the morning and, oh God, another day. What do I have to do today? Oh, I've got to go there today. I've got to get that done today. I've got to go to work. And we've got all these gottas. And we heap ourselves with a negative experience and we frame our day in a negative outline. If we can only turn that around, if we can turn that around to, you know, oh God, another day. I have found that for me, and I suggest this for anybody that is struggling with conditions in your life, that you can change the way you look at it through a ritual. And I've had the same ritual for many, many, many years. You know, mine is simple. I wake, I meditate, I do the prayers, the daily prayers for the day, and then I set a positive intention for what the outcomes that I want in the day. But that's just mine. You're free to create any kind of a ritual that you want to frame the day in a positive outcome instead of starting off in a negative thing. We know that our thoughts are creative. And if we get in and we start off with, oh, I got to do that, we know that that's exactly what it's going to be. Just like in the song we had, I see God in everything. If we see God in everything, then we don't see the negative in everything. I'll back up just a minute. Because I don't want to get in and leave the impression that our philosophy or our way of thinking is just some airy-fairy, feel good, oh, everything is wonderful all the time. We do not deny conditions. We absolutely know that conditions exist in this world. They are real. They are part of our lives. It's part of who we are. If you are struggling with alcohol, or you are living with someone, or you, one of your loved ones is an active alcoholic, that is an absolutely real condition. There is no doubt about that. The hurt in your heart, the pain within you is real, and we do not deny conditions. But what we know is that conditions are temporary. Again, conditions are temporary. What is real, what is true, what is permanent are spiritual truths. These are permanent. And the spiritual truth is that none of us need an outside stimulant in order to be closer to God. None of us need some foreign substance, some chemical, some outside thing in order to be one with ourselves, in order to love ourselves. The spiritual truth is that we are beings of love. And that does not change, that cannot change, because it is a spiritual truth. So no, we don't deny conditions, but we don't give them power over us either. Start your day positively. A morning ritual can help. E in Segway is exercise. It's great if you can get up and exercise every morning. I think that's one of the reasons that the Camino is such a spiritual experience, is because the first thing you do every morning is get up and walk. And most of the time you walk 4 or 5 kilometers before you even have coffee or breakfast or anything. You just get up and walk. You get those endorphins running around in your brain, all the good positive brain chemicals going, and that's how you start your day. It almost makes you frame the day in positivity. Exercise. Another thing. During the short days, specifically December and January, exercise. Get out in the middle of the day and go for a walk. Natural sunlight, even on a very overcast day, during the shortest days of the year, when the sun is just on the horizon, still gives somewhere between 3 and 7,000 foot candles, which is quite a bit of light. And if you expose your eyes to that level of illumination, even if it's just for a half hour, it's better if you can do an hour, but if you can put 7,000 foot candles through your pupils, your body will generate more vitamin D. And we know that one of the things that we all face in Alaska is vitamin D deficiency. And that is a huge boost to the vitamin D in your body. So that's a little tip. Exercise. Midday, because of the time zones, it doesn't occur at noon, but it's close enough. Exercise. G in Segway, gratitude. Take time to give thanks for what you have. In counseling sessions, and I have met with many of you from time to time, and I think most of you have had me give you a little homework to do, and that is to sit and do a gratitude journal. Just be thankful for some of the things that you have in your life. And if you just take that few minutes to give thanks, it wipes out the negative way of looking at things. Because when you're grateful for what you have, it's impossible to be envious or to desire more than. It puts you in a frame of mind to accept the good that you have. So gratitude. The you. I had a hard time with that. You. You, Y-O-U, determine your reality. You are the one that chooses how you're going to be in the world. I've shared this story before. My last years at GE, I'd been the branch manager there for a long time, like long time, and got a new region manager, a guy out of San Francisco that had been in Alaska once in his life, and that was for like 3 or 4 hours, and he didn't like the way I was doing things, so he replaced me, and I got demoted. I didn't get just demoted one notch. I got demoted 2 notches. You know, there were parts of it that stung, that really hurt. I was still a member of Chamber of Commerce. I was still a member of other organizations. And I'd go in and I'd be introduced. Oh, yeah, this is Don. He's the manager at GE. I said, no, not anymore. And that stung. But overall, I don't know. That was the same year that I got my practitioner license. And, you know, the rest of it really didn't bother me that much, particularly the bitching employees and the, you know, complaint department. That was okay to release. But what came to be is that the conditions then changed because I wasn't fighting it. I wasn't doing anything. They put me in a sales territory and, wow, the orders just came flying in. I sold more than I ever had. I made more money. I had less headaches. What's wrong? You know, what's not to like about this picture? But I was the one that was determining my reality. I was the one to choose to just accept it rather than to pout and to cry and, oh, not to me, and to quit. And that's what he really wanted. I found out years later. I mean, out of 10 district managers, he ended up firing all 10. And particularly the older workers. He did not like older workers. So he got rid of them all. He wanted young, fresh ideas. And he got his young, fresh ideas. And that's okay because I came up. But I didn't let that demotion change my reality, the truth of who I am. And the last E in segue is every thought counts. All of our thoughts add up together. And when we have those negative thoughts, they add up to create that reality. I get to see it every day. When people talk, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't go there. I hear that over and over and over. Oh, I don't have any money. When we say, I don't have money, we are affirming that we don't have any money. When we are in a situation from which we see no way out and we say, I'll never get out of this mess, guess what? We're affirming that we're going to stay in that mess. We need to be aware of our negative self-talk. And I would challenge anyone, even if your life is just going along so swimmingly wonderful right now, take a moment and write down some of your negative thoughts every day, because some of your negative thoughts are what are creating that reality. I can't do that. I don't know. Oh, I could never graduate from college. I could never get a master's degree. I could never do that. Well, the universe is going to answer. The universe is responsive. If you say, I can't, okay, you can't. It's going to fill everything that you say and believe. So segue, S-E-G-U-E. Start your day positively, exercise, gratitude, you determine your reality, and every thought counts. So what I want you to take away today is that oftentimes we cannot change the conditions in our lives, but what we can change is how we look at it, and that we can segue to a new experience. And so now I invite you to join me in this moment of prayer and recognize that there is a power in the universe. One power, one presence, one life. And that life is the life of God. That is the life of each and every one of us. And that life, the spiritual truth of which is good. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. All conditions are set aside. All conditions are turned away from. They are not denied. They are very, very real, but we step aside and we do not focus on the condition. Instead, we focus on the spiritual truth So for those who are experiencing a health challenge, we simply know that the spiritual truth is that we are divine expressions of God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And as such, it is a God divine power that is flowing in us now and always. And we just embrace that perfection that is God, that is within each and every person. Likewise, for those of us that are experiencing the condition of lack and limitation, whether it be money, whether it be whatever the condition is, if there is lack and limitation, we know that we live in an abundant universe, that there are more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on every beach on the planet, and that each one of these magnificent stars and solar systems, we are infinitely, infinitely blessed. And for those who are experiencing separation, separation from God, separation from one another, I simply know that the truth, spiritual truth, the permanent truth, is that at our heart we are beings of love. And that prevails. That is permanent, that is long-lasting, that is greater than any sense of separation, any condition where we may feel not loved, any condition where we may feel that people are judging us or that there are problems. The truth is that in spite of the problems, the spiritual truth of love will prevail. The temporary condition falls away. So now I just give thanks. I give thanks for my awareness of that power, that presence, that life that is God, that is living and moving and having its being through and as each and every one of us. And I release these words to a working of law that always, always, always responds. I release these words. I let them go, and so it is.